Hello, everyone. This is David Hayward, Meet a Member podcast for The Lasting Supper. Today, I'm talking with Inga Dahl, who lives in London, UK, a member of The Lasting Supper. Hello, Inga.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. Do I sound as terrified as I feel?
What's so terrifying about having a conversation with David? Nothing.
No, it's not you. It's just, you know, I don't know. I've never done this before, so it feels like, you know, I don't know what to say really. But I'll just leave it in your hands and you can ask questions and I'll answer them as best I can.
Okay. Where do you live?
London.
Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
I like it now. For a long time, I couldn't stand the place. Mm-hmm. Because I was born in Glasgow.
Okay.
And my parents immigrated to South Africa when I was one.
Uh-huh.
Came back when I was, just before I was seven.
Uh-huh.
We lived in Glasgow for 3 years, and then my mum moved down to London with my brother and I.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it. I didn't mind it at all. But then, like, when I get into my 20s, I started to really hate it.
Uh-huh.
And I hated it for a long time. But over the past 5 years or so, I really like it again.
Okay.
So that's good, seeing as I live here. Yeah. I'm at that.
So is your, when people there listen to you talk, I love your accent, by the way. When people listen to you talk, can they tell you where you're from? Or do you have a blend of Scottish and South African and English?
There's no South African left in it, thankfully. sorry, no disrespect to anybody from South Africa, but my accent, I don't know, like, if people, the English don't really attune their ears to much, you know?
Uh-huh.
So you generally find that it's not Londoners or Southerners, if you like, that actually pick up on something.
Mm-hmm.
The English will, you know, are you from Australia or America or, you know, and I think, well, I sound nothing like that. But, it's a lot better now. When we first came down, and I never had a strong Scottish accent. I mean, you know, if you listen to Glaswegian, I never sounded anything like that.
Uh-huh. Thanking God for that too?
Well, yeah, my part, but I do love listening to it. But it was the 80s, and London, it didn't have the immigration influx that it's had since mm-hmm. then.
Okay.
So they were very racist towards Scots and Irish,
mm-hmm.
And obviously blacks. But so, you know, they refused to understand what I was saying and, you know, called me a jock and told me to go back home and things like that. So, mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I sort of had to modify it. I mean, it was never strong, but I sort of had to modify it a little bit. But now, you know, they have to deal with people who won't even speak the language and just point to a piece of paper or go, So, you know, mm-hmm. I think maybe they've had to learn a hard lesson.
Yeah. What's your, are you Caucasian or what? You look, you don't look quite Caucasian, but maybe that's just me.
My mum goes on about that a lot, and I think she's a little bit ashamed. She's Scottish. Uh-huh. My dad's Norwegian.
And your dad's what?
Norwegian.
Oh, okay. Is that where the doll comes from?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But my mother, her parents, one was Jewish and one was descended from, like, the next generation down was Northern Irish.
Okay.
But they were what you call Black Irish, which is dark.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I just got like a total eclectic mix when it came to me.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for people to, you know, just think that I'm Caucasian, but I am.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, you have that exotic look with the dark hair and skin and so on. So I was just wondering. Hey, yeah. So you it's interesting following your input in the Lasting Supper. I really love your participation there and everything, and just sort of grabbing tidbits of your story. It sounds like you've had an interesting spiritual journey.
I have, David, and you know what you see is just the tiniest tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I bet.
It's my mother has always, she was Catholic and full of fear anyway, and she had a terrible childhood. Mm-hmm. And she passed all that on to me, the fear and, you know, a terrible childhood. And my dad wasn't religious. He's an atheist, but that's, like, a lot of atheists are atheists because they just don't believe. But then you get some that call themselves atheists, but that's because they're angry with God.
Right.
And my dad was the latter.
Uh-huh.
So, so,
Your father was angry with God, in other words? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So he chose not to believe in him. I think down he sort of thinks that there's something there, but, you know.
So were you raised Catholic, or because it sounds from some of your stories that you were involved in like evangelical churches?
I was. My mother didn't baptize me into Catholicism until I was 7 years old, but that's because South Africa was a nightmare for us because it was in like the height of apartheid when, you know, the rebellion started to really happen.
Uh-huh.
And we got out because, like, well, I mean, I've suffered horrendously in South Africa for different reasons. But the thing that made my mother leave was the Soweto uprising.
Okay.
And also the fact that she hung around with some guy who was convicted of murdering like one 12-year-old boy after sexually assaulting him. His diary, he kept a diary, and he was into boys. He kept a diary of who he was going to do next, and my brother was on that list.
Oh, my.
My mother was obviously freaked out and, excuse me, fucked up. So we left very quickly. But that threw her onto God in a very desperate but religious way.
Mm-hmm.
And so she baptized us as Catholics, and then it was a case of Catholicism was the way, and that was fine. And then when I was 11, she discovered the occult, and then that was the way. And then when I was 13, she became born again, and then that was the way. And then when I was 24, she discovered the 12 steps, and then that was the way. And she's very religious and dogmatic. My head was bombarded, and she dragged me here, there, and everywhere. And at some point, you know, I had to make a decision for myself. And I've only been able to do that recently, you know, because I was so indoctrinated by different things.
Right.
And, so that's
so you, I left. You went, you were Catholic, and then you went occult, and then you went born again, and then you went 12 steps.
I never went 12 steps. I've held out. I left Catholicism when I was 12. When I was 9, we had a priest. He was like, you know, people thought he was pretty cool. I remember having to go to confession one time, and he was looking at me funny, and I didn't like the way he was looking at me. Then when I was 12, I went up for communion. And when I was 12, I looked about 18.
Uh-huh.
And the priest didn't know whether to give me the wafer or, you know, have sex with me. That's the kind of look that he had on his face.
I'm sorry, that's not funny. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's funny. I mean, it is, but it's not really. And so I thought, stuff that, I'm not going back, you know. So yeah, so I left Catholicism.
Did you have to explain that to your mom, or do you just sort of silently leave?
I just left. I just stopped going. By that time, she was involved in the occult anyway and didn't care whether I went or not. So,
Wow.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's been like a whole religious thing all the way through. And, you know, I believed for a long time that every single word written in the Bible was true. Until like the last, you know, 5 or so years, when I started to think that, A, I didn't believe that. I mean, I believe that a supernatural God could have just taken 6 days to create the earth, mm-hmm. had he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I think that 6 days were, you know, several billion years to God,
mm-hmm.
But were just years to him.
Mm-hmm.
Days to him, but you know what I'm saying,
right?
And you know, and there are parts in the Old Testament that I just cannot get to grips with. I can't, you mm-hmm. know, and so I'm getting to the point where I have to block those out,
right?
And right. You know, and just focus on Jesus,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the kind of things that he said about God, not what the Old Testament writer said about God. Because okay. if I had to do that, I'd crack up all over again. Not that, you know, but you know what I mean.
Oh, totally. Well, what kind of a church did you end up in that was evangelical? And it was obviously something that you chose or felt drawn to. Was it Baptist or Pentecostal or?
No, what happened was, because my mum was preaching at me and Bible thumping me for 2 years from the minute she got saved at a Louis Palau meeting to
wow, Louis Palau.
Yeah. That happened when I was 13 and getting Bible bashed for 2 years and, you know, frightened with, you know, if Jesus came back now, you've got hell, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And but I stuck it out for 2 years, and eventually, after a series of nightmares that everybody was, like, all the Christians were taken up and I was left behind and to go to hell, I decided that I was going to give my life to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And so she had been going to a Church of England church at the time, and it was sort of, it had a charismatic tiny bit in it, but nothing remotely near the whole evangelical Pentecostal thing that's going on at the moment okay. from America. And so, you know, when I was going to be a Christian, the minute I told her, because, you know, it says you have to confess with your mouth, blah, blah, blah. And so the minute I told her, she started saying, you know, don't go to that church, they won't accept you, and like really, really, really hammering it. Like this about turn, I couldn't believe it. The day before, she was 28 weeks ago. And so anyway, I tried to ignore that and went.
Uh-huh.
And after a little while, I ended up dating, and all this time, my mum's spewing vitriol about this church. And after a couple of months, I ended up dating the son of one of the elders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we weren't supposed to have sex before we got married, blah, blah, blah. But we did. And I got pregnant. And he decided that, you know, I was not going to ruin his life and he went off to somebody else. We had to leave the church because his father was an elder. And I would be an embarrassment. So my aunt, one of my mom's sisters, was going to this, you know, charismatic, meant to be the best church ever, blah, 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 and the only way, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And so my mom went to that, and obviously I'm 16, damaged to high heaven, and I went along with her just looking for somebody to accept me. So uh-huh. They were lovely, really lovely, and I had to go meet with the pastor, who, when I, like, because you have to have a meeting to, show that you're interested in going to the church, and then they decide whether they're going to let you in. And so I went. He tried to get off with me. I was 16, and, you know, he was some... He started to kiss me, and then, you know, when I started to push him away and get all, like, this isn't right, he said, you know, this is the way Jesus would love you, and you have to let me do it. Now, I didn't know any better. I didn't know God that well. So anyway, I ended up going to the church. Yeah, exactly. I ended up going to the church, and, you know, that he was totally perverted and all of that. So this turned out to be, I was there for 5 years. And it's where my brother died and all of that. And it turned out to be a cult. What made me leave was the pastor, the new pastor that had taken the place of the pervy one. But he was pervy with other people, just not with me. He was talking about buying a warehouse, and everybody had to live in it and give him their money. And I thought, fuck this shit, I'm out of here. But at that time, I had I'd been dating a guy from the age of 18. And what you were told was, you know, you couldn't break up with them, or you had to leave the church. And if you left the church, you were going to hell. And I was damaged enough to believe that. Mm-hmm. And I hated this guy, but I married him. Because I didn't want to go to hell. And but anyway, so I left, and he wanted to stay, but his parents talked him out of it. And then I left this guy, finally got the guts to divorce him when I was 23, seeing that, you know, other people weren't going to hell for doing stuff.
Yeah.
And he was abusive and all the rest of that. So so I went off the rails for 2 years. And then, you know, all these Christians were trying to draw me back in. And then I eventually got sucked back in and went to this other church, which is the one I've just left. And basically, you know, it's like the Westboro Baptist Church doctrine, but without the obvious hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's been my Christian journey, as it were.
So the church just left. It sort of held the Westboro Baptist kind of theology, but they weren't as overt. It was more subtle.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And without the hatred, it was, you know, everything was said in sort of wimpy love. Uh-huh. You know, the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, so.
So, and you have a boyfriend now?
Yes, I do, who's not a Christian. I knew when I split up with my ex way back in 1993 that I did not want to date a Christian ever again. But I stayed single and celibate for 18 years because I just didn't want to let anybody else in.
Mm-hmm.
And, so when this guy came along, I felt that I could open up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but he's an atheist. He, you know, and we have arguments. Well, he argues with me. Mm-hmm. And I choose not to argue back. So, yeah.
Wow, Inga. Wow.
Yeah, so that's a tiny bit about me.
That's a lot. Wow, that's an incredible journey. So what motivated you to finally leave the church that you just left? Was it that you suddenly saw through all the stuff and realized this wasn't for you?
Well, technically, I've not actually left. I just haven't gone for about 2 years.
Oh, okay.
I was just fed up with the crap, you know, mm-hmm. and religiosity and the Christianese, like we were talking about on Facebook today.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like their God. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, I knew that to be able to find a God that I could like and feel comfortable with and not be like live in fear of, I would have to leave them. I'd have to leave them and their God.
Is that your boyfriend or your cat?
That's my daughter's cat.
Okay.
yeah, so.
How old's your daughter?
She's 26.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, like I said, I fell pregnant at 16. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was the best thing actually to happen to me at the time. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see it then, but I've seen it since.
The way you come across on the Lasting Supper, you sound really intelligent. You sound like you are fun. You're fun, and you sound strong. How have you become strong?
I have absolutely no idea. None.
Do you see yourself as strong?
I don't, but others do. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can only be because I know that there's something better that I haven't, you know. I know that there's better health for me. I know that there's a far better God, you know, and I haven't discovered those things yet, and I haven't lived the life I want to yet, and I'm, you know, and I've refused to give up until I have, you know, until I find what I'm looking for.
Interesting. I read a book a little while back. It's written by what's her name? I can't remember her name. I might be able to. I'll dig it up and I'll put it in. I'm going to post this on the Lasting Supper today and Meet a Member podcast. So I'll put the reference there. But she's a Buddhist psychotherapist, and she wrote a book called The Gifts of Suffering, and she just observes people who've gone through incredible suffering, but who have this resilience. She calls it resilience. And that, you know, some people suffer and they become totally paralyzed, and then other people suffer, but it builds a resilience in them. And that's what I see in you. I see that, man, you've gone through a lot. I had no idea. I mean, your story is absolutely spellbinding, but you do have this resilience about you, that you're not just a survivor, but you're very strong and contributing incredibly. You know, so.
Yeah, I'm glad you see that.
Oh, and others do too, I'm sure. Yeah, like you said, other people are notice it, but you can't see it yourself. But
yeah. Well, I wouldn't be here if there wasn't some fighting spirit in me. I know that
exactly.
I know that because of the life that has happened to me, and also the choices that I've made myself. Uh-huh. If there was no fight in me, I wouldn't be here to tell the tale now.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
How did you find the Lasting Supper?
It was totally by accident. I when I started to try and find out who God was for myself, and, you know, instead of listening to what other people told me it was like and the little tiny box that they gave me to put them in, I started to like pages like The Christian Left and Kissing Fish. And things like that. And I was on, like, one of them had posted a link, and I went to read the article. And I always liked you because they would post your cartoons as well.
Right.
And I always liked the cartoons. So I clicked on a cartoon one time and to read the little story. I can't even remember which one it was, David, but and to read the little story that was with it.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw to the right-hand side about the Lasting Supper. So I clicked on that and sort of ummed and ahed about it for a while. Like I went onto the site and, you know, and I thought, well, not sure. And then you and I had the, you know, the email discussion because I veered away from it. And we had the email discussion. And then I've just really, really enjoyed my whole experience, you know, meeting people like me, and, you know, and it's okay to be like that. It's okay to be searching, and it's okay to be deconstructing and, you know, that sort of a thing.
Yeah.
A lovely bunch.
Aren't they?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm sure glad you're a part of it, and I really enjoy your company and the things you have to say and contribute. And it's fun to watch people, participating in the conversations. But what's really, really cool is to see people like growing and expanding and getting more free and things like that. So I'm so glad you're a part of it.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to be a part of it and to know you, to know you and to meet everybody else and, interact with them and that sort of a thing. Just be accepted.
And what?
Just be accepted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. I know that. I love that feeling too. Is there anything you'd like to say to the members of the Lasting Supper that you didn't get a chance to say?
No, don't put me on the spot, David. Okay.
I'm not asking you to preach. I just wanted to know if there was something in your mind that you wanted to say and didn't get a chance to.
No, I really appreciate them all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Inga, you have a great day. Thanks so much for talking with me. And I'm going to get this up on the Lasting Supper as soon as I can because it's just fascinating and good for you. I applaud you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice to chat with you.
Nice to chat with you too. Have a great day, you and your daughter and your cats.
I will do.
Okay.
Bye.
See you on the Lasting Supper. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Inga Dahl. Thanks so much, Inga, for being a part of the Lasting Supper. You're simply amazing. And I want to thank you for that and for your contribution to our community. If anybody else wants to be interviewed for the Lasting Supper, just let me know and we'll get you on here. See you at the Lasting Supper, guys. Bye for now.